So let's get started trying to see through some of these inyanim. Okay, so yesterday we mentioned, hopefully, at least you got a chance to read the super abridged version of the comment of Rabbi Yochum Fishel Perla in the Rav Saad Yigon. It was nice of him to allow Rav Saad Yigon to publish something in his three-volume work on mitzvos. But nevertheless, he does mention him from time to time. So, they say the same joke about the Ritva and Yevamos. You know, who wrote the Sefer of Yaffa? Rav Yaffa. They say it was nice of Rav Yaffa to allow the Ritva to write a couple of lines on the top of the page in some of his Sefer and Yevamos.
They wanted to write a third one. They wouldn't let him. They say Rav Yaffa killed Rav Yaffa.
What?
They say Rav Yaffa killed Rav Yaffa. They wanted to write a third one. They wouldn't let him.
Well, no. So why didn't he just write it safer? It's gosh. Okay. So he's discussing this idea whether or not there is a mitzvah of Midvar Sheker Tirchuk. So from the Monei HaMitzvos, it does not appear there's a mitzvah of Midvar Sheker Tirchuk, nor does it appear that there is a mitzvah of Hin Tzedek. Right? So what do we mean by Hin Tzedek? So the Gemara in Bab Metzia discusses Dvarim Yesh Bayim Mishum Mechusrei Amana, Dvarim Ein Bayim Mishum Mechusrei Amana. Are you considered an untrustworthy person if you simply have what we call a verbal agreement with somebody? Do you have a responsibility? If you say you're going to do a business deal, this came up in my life once where I needed a new, need is the wrong word, but we were getting a new sprinkler system in the front of my house, so for the grass. So we called the company that made the sprinkler that, you know, before we bought the house, and we got a price from them and whatever. We said, okay, so we'll do the deal. We didn't give a deposit or anything, but then later in the week, a friend of ours sent over his sprinkler guy, and it was like ridiculously cheaper. It was significant price difference. So whatever, that led to the Shiloh. Like, we made an agreement that we were going to do it with one guy, but we never gave any money, and we never, I think we did have an appointment, but we never actually made a deposit, but we did give our word. So is that a problem? Are you allowed to call somebody Mechusrei Amana if they back out of a deal? So whatever, Lamaisa, we ended up staying in the deal. Given the circumstances, we thought it would be more proper to stay in the deal than to back out and be considered together Mechusrei Amana. Even though Me'ikar Adin, perhaps there was room to back out, but certainly, according to at least the way the Shulchan Aruch is phrased, and also Kamal and Shulchan Aruch, it's definitely, there is room, you know, certain times you're just being Chassid Shota, certain times you're just, you know, being Machmir for no reason, and, you know, so you're going to say, well, I wanted to be mevater on the money. So who told you to take money and put it in a shredder? Who told you to throw it in the garbage? Like, that's not considered a midas chasidus. But so in this case, it seemed that it would be proper to maintain the deal and not to back out. Okay, whatever. So obviously, each case is different, given the circumstances, etc. But this is the yisod of dvarim. Ein bayam mishum mechusrei amana dvarim. Yesh lam mishum mechusrei amana. And the Gemara there quotes the idea of hein tzedek. So the pasuk says lashon hin tzedek, right? We know what a hin is. That's when we say a revius. So when the Torah says revius, it means revius ahin, right? Always says revius ahin. When we say revius, we don't mean revius ahin. We mean revius haluk. Okay, well, nice. So that's what a hin is. It's a certain liquid measurement that they used to use to measure out the nisachim on the mizbeach, etc. So, when you say your hin should be a legitimate hin, it shouldn't be that you're cheating with weights and measures. In fact, the Gemara has some very, very choice words for those people who cheat with weights and measures. They are described in the Torah as being a toeva. They're described in the Torah, if everybody likes to make a big deal out of which mitzvahs in the Torah are called toeva, that's one of them. So don't cheat with weights and measures. I know you have a tremendous yetzer hara to cheat with weights and measures, but try to avoid it. So nevertheless, there is this idea that when you say yes, it should mean yes, and when you say no, it should mean no. That seems to be darshan from the psukim. So Rabbi Yochanan Fishel tries to be ma'arich to show that although there are some rishonim on that sugya that do learn that this is a real din min haTorah, nevertheless, the accepted halacha, and certainly in the moneh hamitzvos, is that this is not a din d'oraisa, this is an asmachta ba'alma, and hu adinami, he comes to the conclusion that the pasuk of midvar sheker tirchok is not a din min haTorah in the classic sense. So what is it? So he ends off what is a much, much longer piece. V'lachay nira l'anias daiti, ikir kidichsivna, tikra demidvar sheker tirchok, lo ko'i ela l'azhara le dayanim. It's an azhara for judges. When the judges are being done their case, they should engage in the halachos, keeping in mind the pasuk of midvar sheker tirchok, o mishum anoas dvarim, right, he quotes the Gemara, there's an issue of Onoaz Dvarim. What's Onoaz Dvarim? There are two kinds of Onoaz Dvarim. One kind of Onoaz Dvarim is not what they're talking about right here, is making somebody feel bad because of your words, right? That's one type of Onoaz Dvarim. Another type of Onoaz Dvarim that they are talking about over here is ripping somebody off, right? And you're not allowed to rip people off. You're not allowed to tell somebody that something is worth more than it really is and sell it to them for that higher price. How high? What? Oh, good point. Yeah. One second. So he's talking about Onoas Dvarim. He quotes Nun Chesem Beis. One second. Where is the Bar Mitzvah? Anyone have it? Nun Ches. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely here discussing the regular Isser of Onah in Hazah, meaning Nun Chesem and Av is smack in the middle of the Onah Sugyas. So he calls it Onah's Dvarim, but you're correct. Normally, certainly colloquially, we would refer to Onah's Dvarim as making fun of somebody, whereas Onah of ripping somebody off, we would refer to it as Onah's Mamon or Stam Onah. Yeah. But what he means, if, you know, something else. Oh, no. I take it back. He's referring to the Mishnah Nun Chesem et Beis. He's referring to the Mishnah, not even making fun of somebody, but he's referring to the Mishnah Nun Chesem et Beis. Kishem she'onah b'mekach u'memkar, kach onah b'dvarim. So what type of onah's dvarim are we talking about over there? Lo yomer lo b'kama chifetz zeh. V'hu eino rotza likach. He doesn't want to buy it. He just stops schmoozing to try to get the guy's hopes up that he thinks he's going to buy it, and he's going to mislead him into thinking that he wants to buy it. Ima yabal tshuva, or another type of onoaz dvarim, is lo yomer lo zechor ma'asecha rishonim. Shouldn't tell him, oh yeah, I remember when you used to do that avera. That's not acceptable. Imu ben gerim lo yomer zechor ma'isa avosecha. Shenemar v'ger lo sonu v'lo silchatzenu. Silchatzenu or silchatzenu, I can't remember. You're not supposed to oppress a ger. Right, so that is what the onoaz dvarim that he's talking about. Specifically, in this case, he's not referring to making fun of somebody. Rather, he's referring to the isser to mislead somebody. Right? So when you walk into a store, you're planning on buying it online. Right? You're planning on buying it online. You don't want to... Like, so I do that all the time. I walk around in Walmart, and I have my phone open to Amazon. Right? So why? Because I'm not interested necessarily in getting it today. If I can get it today, that's fantastic. But I don't need it today. I'm just as happy to have it in a few days. Right? So if I know that there's a better price online, I'll get it online. So that's a little different than classic Onoas Dvarim. Because why? Because there, if the guy gives me the price, I'll buy it from him. If he doesn't, I'll buy it somewhere else. So when I say to somebody, how much does something cost? It's not because I'm not planning on buying it from him. I want to hear what he has to say. If he tells me a good deal, or if it's close enough that it's worth it for me to have that instant gratification of walking out of the store with it right now, so then I'll buy it from him. If not, then I won't. So that's not onoas dvarim in that case. So he's talking about that type of onoas dvarim, which refers to lying. So there is an isser of onoas dvarim, not learned from midvar sheker tircha in the classic sense, but there is an isser of lying under such circumstances where you're misleading somebody into thinking you want to do a deal with them or you want to engage in certain practice with them. Sorry, I apologize for that mistake. Okay, but nevertheless, he basically says that there is no independent isser of midvar sheker tirchak when it comes to lying. Similarly, Rav Soloveitchik, if you look in the Rishimos, he points out that there is an isser to lie, but not in the classic sense where we say, like, if you lie, you're violating an isser of lying midvar sheker tirchak. Really, there's a din in the Torah. If you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, he waxes poetic about the mitzvah of v'halachta bidrachav. Right? There's a mitzvah to imitate the ways of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And obviously, we're supposed to search through the Torah in order to understand how we are supposed to go about that. How are we supposed to go about imitating the ways of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? So one of the things that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is the midah of emes, chosamo emes. Right? So one of the things about Hashem is that He's all about the emes. And therefore, we also have to be very emesdik when it comes to the way we live our lives. But that's really a din in Hilchos Deos. That's not really a din in Hilchos Mamon. It's not really a din in Hilchos Toin Vinitan, etc. in a classic sense. That obviously you have to deal with people in a straightforward way, but it wouldn't necessarily be violation of Midvar Sheker Tirchak if you were to stam say a lie. And this all fits in with what we were talking about yesterday from the Birkas Avram, that he says that there's no isser for the individual to lie stam in court if it's not going to actually lead to anything. It's not going to lead to anything. What's it going to lead to? So the Birkas Avram was talking about a case where you're not going to cause a false psak, you're not going to cause a false anything, you're just going to tell a little bit of a lie, and that lie will lead you to getting the correct psak, because the other guy's lying. Or the other guy is telling the truth, but his version of the truth is misleading to what you think the psak really should be, and therefore you're going to tell a little bit of a lie to try to get the psak to not be misled, quote-unquote. Obviously, these are slippery, slippery slopes, because everybody thinks that everything they do is the truth and everything everybody else does is falsehood. So therefore, it's important to keep in mind that this is not necessarily the practice we're looking for. His point was simply that there's no isser. There's an isser for Edim to lie. There's an isser for Dayanim to give the wrong psak. But there is no isser for, if there is no isser for an individual person in Beis Din to tell a lie if it doesn't lead to anything. Because we find this even in the Sefer Yerayim. The Sefer Yerayim, who counts Midvar Sheker Tirchak as one of the Taryag Mitzvah, he writes that he thinks it's a din de oraisa, midvar sheker tirchak, and he writes specifically that one is not permitted to lie. That's in Siman Reish Lamed Hey. I did not include it in the regular Makoros. I have a copy or two left in the back if anybody wants to check it out. The Sefer Yerayim in Siman Reish Lamed Hey writes that it is an isser l'shaker in any matter de esher lavo lidei ra, that could lead to something bad. Right, and then he writes Bezeh Halashon, and I think this is a fairly close quote. Avol davar she'ino bali de ra lo hizhira Torah. The davar halamid man yano shevarasha ra lebrios akasav medaber. Right, because if you look at the pasuk of Midvar Sheker Tirchak, it's dafka discussing someone who's doing evil things and causing problems. So if you're going to tell a lie, which will not cause a problem, it's going to cause something good, or it's going to cause something neutral, then there is no isser of midvar sheker tirchak. This is the sheet of the Yerayim, and that fits in okay with the idea of the Birkas Avram, which is that if you're trying to arrive at a correct psak halacha, there is no isser to lie per se. There's only an isser for Edom to lie, there's only an isser for Dayanim to lie under their circumstances. That goes back to, we originally had that shaila of the Ben Ish Chai. I have not been able to find it inside. I saw it quoted in the Chashuk Chemed, but I wasn't able to find the actual source in the Ben Ish Chai. The Sefer that he quotes from the Ben Ish Chai is not online on Hebrew Books. It is, ironically, there is a similar, there is not a similar book, but there is a book from the Chidah with the same name, which has nothing, it's a Pirush on something else, I forgot what it was. Chidah wrote many, many books. There's a lot of, also, a lot of repetition in the Chidah's books, which is, it makes sense. The legend is, I think he wrote as many books as years he was alive. So he, I think he lived over 80 years. So he has over 80 books, I don't know. But there's a lot of repetitive stuff in the Chidah's works, but certainly certain works of the Chidah, no doubt, are classics that everybody uses. So he has his book by the same name, but I don't know why they don't have the other book from the Ben Ish Chai that Reb Zilberstein says has the story, but with the story with the Dayan who purposely misled this fellow who he knew was a liar. And he went into his office and he looked at the coin. You remember this? I told you guys the story already. He looked at the coin and he said, "Oh, look at that! It turns out there is a simon on the coin. There's a dot right over the whatever." And then the guy comes. He knew the guy was going to hear him, and he comes out and he says, "I have a simon. There's a dot over the thing." And the guy says, "Oh, it must not be your coin, because you know, there's no dot on this particular coin." So that was the Dayan purposely misleading the litigant in that case to try to get the truth out. So one limud zechus on what the Dayan did was he was in his office or whatever, he's in his chambers, if you want to make him sound more like a judge. So he was in his chambers and he made a statement out loud knowing that the fellow would be listening in. That's not the same thing as a Dayan who specifically misleads someone in the proceedings of a court case itself. That's not the same thing at all, and therefore you could argue that he was not under even the safer. According to Rabbi Yochum Fishel, he would not be in violation of anything because he wasn't being a dayan at the time, and even according to the Sefer Yerayim, he told a lie, but it was not a lie that was gorim anything negative. Fakered, it was a lie that was gorim the correct din emes, and therefore there was no iser for him to tell such a lie. Okay, but lemaisa he does. He does list, the Urayim does list it as an Isser to Oraisa, Midvar Sheker Tirchok, to tell any kind of a lie. And he's Mitzayin, the Gemara of Ketzen Meraktim, Lifnei Akala, that this is clearly, the Gemara is assuming that any kind of a lie that leads to something negative is automatically an Isser to Oraisa. What would be the negative that comes from lying in that case? Very hard to understand. He says such a lashon of that, like, it's going to be misleading the chassan into thinking something that isn't true about the kala. The kala is really terrible, and you're going to say she's great, so that's somehow something negative will come from that. I'm not really sure how that makes any sense. But Lamaisa, he does point out, which is something that everyone kind of has to grapple with, which is the Gemara in Ksuvis does say, black on white, the reason Beishamai holds you're not allowed to lie When it comes to Ketz and Meraktim Lefnei Akala, is the pasuk says Midvar Sheker Tirchok. So it sounds like this Isser, which all of a sudden seemed isolated to the cases of Dine Mominis or some type of court cases or some type of Edus, etc., now all of a sudden we're going to apply it in Kol Tarakula at a wedding. So that's it's hard to understand exactly how that carries over. And Beis Hillel doesn't seem to dispute that Nakuda. Beis Hillel argues and says you should always say Kalanova Chasuda, but he doesn't say because Midvar Sheker Tirchak's not a real thing. He just says that you should always say to Kalanova Chasuda. So I don't know if we're going to be able to properly answer that question, but nevertheless, this is something that we have to contend with. Now, in terms of taking what we've got so far and trying to be magdir what the actual din of Midrash Sheker Tirchuk is. So first of all, if you just sort of, I tried to give you a, I don't know if I got all of them, I don't think I did, but I gave like a smattering of Rambams that you could read, where I think if you put them all together, you can kind of develop a theme over here. But I think really what I didn't do, which I should have, is to tell you to read the Koteres at the beginning of the Rambam, in Hilchos Sanhedrin, where he always lists off which mitzvos he's going to elaborate on, right? So the Rambam, in the heading at the beginning of Hilchos Sanhedrin, so he's got quite a list of mitzvos. It says, Yesh bechlalon shloshim mitzvos, the 30 mitzvos, eser mitzvos aseh, ve'esrim mitzvos los aseh. There are 10 positive mitzvos, and there are 20 lo sases. So, and he lists them off, and then you get fairly, you know, accurate in terms of which ones correspond to which prakim over here. And then when you get to mitzvah chaf beis, shalola avel mishpat, or la avol mishpat. You should not, you know, do injustice. I don't know if that's the correct translation of that, but basically, don't do any kind of an avla when it comes to justice. They should not do any kind of negative justice. It should always be positive justice. Then, shalola hatos mishpat ger yasom, right? Lishpot bitzedek, shalolira bidin me'ish zroa, right? To not be afraid, that's lo saguru mipne'ish, right? Not to be afraid of a bal zroa, somebody who you know is powerful and can harm you. Shalolikach shochad, shalolisa shema shav. And then going further, he's already out of the subject. Lo lekala dayan, lekala anasi, lo lekala adam, mishar b'nei Yisrael aksher. What didn't he include? Clearly, it does not include midvar sheker tirchok. It's not on his list of mitzvos that, and it's not such a surprise since we already have been informed that it's not in the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos either as one of the Taryag mitzvos. So you see that neither, although the Rambam is going to quote it quite a bit, and this is a lot of things people like to talk about, things that the Rambam doesn't count in the Sefer HaMitzvos, but he clearly does count in the Mishneh Torah, or he does hold of in the Mishneh Torah, and he quotes Pesukim to that effect. How are you supposed to be misyaches to those particular dinim? Right? So I don't claim to have a global answer to that question, but if you just take a look in a lot of the halachos that the Rambam has over here, so he starts off, Perek, Chof, Aleph, Mitzvah, Saseh, Lishpot, HaShofet, B'tzedek, Shenemar, B'tzedek, Tishpot, HaMisecha. Right? Okay, so what are we about to talk about? We're about to talk about all the ways that you can be mekayim the mitzvah of B'tzedek, Tishpot, HaMisecha. Right? All the ways that you can be done a case properly to judge Klal Yisrael in a proper way. Right? So this is what we're really dealing with over here. And we go through a lot of the halachas that we've already seen, right? That one guy shouldn't stand and one guy shouldn't sit, one guy shouldn't dress nicely and one guy shouldn't dress not nicely. And then, which halachas did I specifically try to look at? But though, by the way, the whole Perek Chaf Aleph is important reading, but Lamaisa, I think I tried to look at some specific ones. Asur l'dayan l'shmo devrei echa mibalei dinim kodem sheyavo chavero, o shelo b'fnei chavero, afilo dover echad asur, shenemar, shmo abein achichem, v'chol shomea, me'echad over belosa, say shenemar, los yisa shem hashav, u'bechlal lav zeh, azhara l'makabu l'shen hara, u'misapra l'shen hara, u'meid edu sheker, v'chein bal din, muzar shelo yashmiya dvarav l'dayanim kodem sheyavo l'chavero, v'gam al zeh v'chayotzi bo nemar, midvar sheker tirchok. So he talks about the actual Isurim, and then he throws in at the end, and also we say about this, Midvar Sheker Tirchuk. Right? And this is something which is a theme in the Rambam over here. Right? What other ones can we look at? Let's look at Halacha Yud for a second. Minayin L'dayin Shalo Yasa Melitz Advarav. Right? So it's along the lines of what we said, Lo Yasa Sanigoria. Right? So Talmud Lomer, Midvar Sheker Tirchuk. Yele Yomer Mashenir Lo V'yishtok. V'lo yilamid adam echem yibalei din tayin haklal. Afilo hevi bal din al echad, shalo yomar ein mekablo neid echad, etc. Right, we said that we learned this Rambam already. Right, so again, he says you're not supposed to do it. How do we know you're not supposed to do it? Because it says, midvar sheker tirchuk. Right, so we do learn it out from midvar sheker tirchuk, similar to what he said in halacha zayin v'chol, right, v'gam al zevach hayotzi bo nemar midvar sheker tirchuk. Right? So even though he pointed out, he already quoted a pasuk that it was in Issur Doraisa, he says, we also say about this, Midvar Sheker Tirchuk. And then what else do we learn from Midvar Sheker Tirchuk? That you're not supposed to lead the witnesses. You're not supposed to teach them which tainus to make. Right? And then if you look in Perek Chav Beis, so we have a similar idea. Lo Saguru Mipnei Ha'ish. Right? Lo Saguru Mipnei Ish. You're not supposed to fear a Bal Zroa. That we already had from the Rambam in the heading is one of the things that we list off as is a mitzvah d'oraisa, right? But then we point out that there's also, as our Gemara points out, that there is a din midvar sheker tirchuk over here, Right? Talmud Shoyel Yoshev Lifnei Rabba V'ra'a Zuchus Lani V'chov V'la Asher Im Shasa Kareza Over Mishum Lo Sagur Mipnei Ish V'al Midvar Sheker Tirchok. Not one of the mitzvos. The mitzvah is Lo Saguru. However, you also violated Midvar Sheker Tirchok. Right? I mean, Yoshev Yoshev Talmud Bur Lifanov Talmud Lomer Midvar Sheker Tirchok. Also, you're not supposed to have a Talmud Bur teach you Krum Svaras as you're trying to do it, right? And the Talmud sees his Rebbe's Toa B'Din, and he shouldn't say, "I'm going to wait." How do we know? Talmud Lomar Midvar Sheker Tirchok. Chayina v'chayina. We have, you know, more examples in the Rambam where, on one hand, he quotes the actual pasuk; on the other hand, he quotes Midvar Sheker Tirchok. So, what are we doing here? And we know already that he's not going to count it as one of the mitzvos. He doesn't count it in the minyan of mitzvos, and he doesn't count it in the heading. So what are we doing with this? What do you think is the Rambam Shita over here? So what are we talking about over here? And also, Rabbi Yochum Fishel says the same thing. Meaning, it's not a mitzvah. It's an azhara l'dayanim. So what does that mean? Is it a mitzvah or not? It's an azhara l'dayan. Last time I checked, when we use the term azhara, what do we mean? A lo saseh, right? Okay, so it's a lo saseh. It's the 614th mitzvah, right? It's 366th lo saseh. Or not? Well, how come it's not a lav? So it seems clear to me that the Rambam counts it as a subcategory of all of these mitzvahs, whether you want to say it's b'tzedek tishpat amisecha, lo sagur b'nei ha'ish, meaning all of these cases are the guidelines for dayanim. But on the other hand, those are very vague statements, right? I'll give you an example. Vasisa yashav atov, right? That's a good way to win every argument. How do you know? How do you win the argument with that? You say, how could you argue on me? I have a pasuk that backs me up. It says in the pasuk, Vasisa Yashav Atov, and everything I'm saying is both Yashar and Tov. How could you argue with me? Right? So it's a very vague statement. Right? So what's the answer, by the way, if anybody ever says that? It's B'nei Hashem. Maybe it's Yashar and Tov to you. It's not necessarily Yashar and Tov B'nei Hashem. So okay, well, nice. It's a very vague statement. So is Dina de Bar Metzra a din? We learned Dina de Bar Metzra from Vasisa Yashav Atov. Right? What's Dina de Bar Metzra? Right, if you have two people you can sell to, and they're both going to give you a similar price. So, who are you going to give first dibs to? You give it first dibs to your neighbor. Why? Because maybe he wants to extend his house onto the next property, or maybe he wants to make a bigger backyard, or maybe he has all his farming equipment on one end in his backyard now, and he doesn't want to have to buy a whole separate set of equipment or schlep it all over town when he wants to extend his farm, right? So it's just a nice thing to do. Get your neighbor involved versus some random guy who doesn't need this piece of land, dafka. You could use any piece of land. So it's always nicer and better to do it. That's not a din d'oraisa, din de bar mitzvah, right? Ay, vasisa yashav atov. So what's the pshat? Right, it's a klolistika thing that we're all kinds of mitzvos for mekach and memkar, and included in how you're supposed to engage in mekach and memkar is that it should be yashar and tov, the way, not necessarily the way every individual would darshan it, but at least the way the chachamim understood it. Right? Similarly here, that there's a concept, midvar sheker tirchok. Right? What does it mean? It applies within all of the existing mitzvos of the dayanim. The dayanim have a mitzvah to be dan b'tzedek. It's very vague, right? Don't be afraid of people, right? So it's nice not to be afraid. Don't be intimidated by anybody. Yes, it's good not to be intimidated by anybody, but ad kedei kach, what are we trying to say? So when we apply the yesod, this klal of midvar sheker tirchok to the dayanim, this is what l'chora means by azhara l'dayanim. It's a warning to the dayanim. You are charged with the pre-existing mitzvos of Tzedek Tishpat Amisecha, Lo Sagur Mnei Ha'ish, and you know, all the other 28 mitzvos that are listed in the heading of the Rambam for Hilchos Sanhedrin. and for Hilchos Edim for that matter, right? But the bottom line is, the concept of quote-unquote telling the truth is inherent in any type of tzedek. When the goal is to reach a din tzedek and a din emes, obviously that's the mitzvah de'oraisa. So you're going to say, is midvar sheker tirchok a mitzvah midoraisa? It's not a mitzvah midoraisa in the sense of, you know, you must keep midvar sheker tirchok, but it's a mitzvah doraisa in the sense that when you fulfill it or you would violate it, you are in violation of a din doraisa. Which doraisa? So not really midvar sheker tirchok. Really, you violated a din doraisa of tzedek tishpot amisecha. You violated a din doraisa of lo sagur v'mnei ish, right? But lemaisa, where do we get it from? What are we trying to bring out? We're trying to bring it out from midvar sheker tirchok. Trying to bring it out from the fact that the Torah says you're supposed to distance yourself from sheker. That was dafka talking to lots of people, but most specifically dayanim. And therefore, it creates guidelines to know how to apply the other mitzvahs d'oraisa. Okay. With this in mind, I just want to, it's a fun application and it's the most commonly used application for the idea of midvar sheker tirchok. So I just wanted to go through a little bit of the sugya of ketzad meraktim. Okay. Most of the time, you learn suvis, you never really get to ketzad meraktim. Unless people want to say shira on the second parak, they always want to say shira and yani shtaros. So nobody really wants to talk about this, but it's a nice side point. So the Gemara has a brisa, tazayin and beis tana rabbanan ketzad meraktim lifnei akala. Right, this will never make it into the song. Beishamay omrim kala kimos shehi. Right. Kala Kamoshi, when I used to go to, I mean, Baruch Hashem, I still go to a lot of weddings, but I used to go to weddings, like when I was in yeshiva, so I went to a lot of weddings. So we used to have a lot of spare time. So I don't remember how this came out, but we made a top three songs you'll never hear at a Jewish wedding. So that was number three, right? Ketzad meraktim lifnei akala, kala kamoshehi. The other song was Inve HaGefen V'Inve HaSneh. You'll never hear that one either. And the last one, we had a tune to it with Tav L'Mesav Tandu M'L'Mesav Armalu. So that was three Jewish songs you'll never hear at a wedding. Three songs you'll never hear at a Jewish wedding. Okay. So this was one of them, though. Beisham Ashita Kala Kamos Shehi. Beis Hillel says Kala Noav Achasuda. Right? Shockingly, the Rambam Paskins, or not the Rambam, but the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch, Paskin Kala Noav Achasuda. Right? So Amar Len Beishamale Beisilol Haresha Oisa Chigeres Osuma Omrim La Kala Noeva Chasuda. What? She's a Chigeres. She's a Suma. You're going to say Kala Noeva Chasuda? Vatora Amar Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Amar Len Beisilol Beishamai. The weirdest answer, right? What does he say? Lidivreichem Misha Lokach Mekach Ram and Ashuk Yibsha Bechenu Beinav Oyiganenu Beinav. So if a guy makes a really bad purchase, he comes home with a new car. It's the Pontiac Aztec. Remember, anybody ever see that car? Nice Aztec, buddy. Like, no, that car should not exist. They charge the same amount for that car as they charge for every other car. That's ridiculous, right? I don't think they make it. I don't even know if they make Pontiacs anymore. I don't know, but Lemaisa, they definitely don't make that Pontiac anymore, right? So the guy's like, nice car, right? So what am I supposed to say? No? So Beis Hillel says, what are you going to do? You're going to praise the purchase or you're not going to praise the purchase? What do you mean? What kind of answer is that? That's goofa what we're arguing about over here. Like, what's the raya? Right? And it's not like he answers him. I mean, I'm sorry, it's not like he brings in any other proofs. He says, Habe Yomer bein Shebchana bein'av. You would assume that, you should praise it. Right? So basically, what does Beis Hillel say? He says, look, Beis Shammai, I hear what you're saying. You have a pasuk, but I have a bad svara. Right? So you can't really argue with me. He says, what do you... And he's saying, Beis Shammai says, it says, Midbar Sheker Tirchak, you're supposed to lie and say she's Na'av HaChasuda when she's really not. And Beis Hillel says back, no, but like if a person makes a really bad purchase, what are you supposed to say? It's good or it's bad? Avadi is supposed to say it's good. So here too, he's supposed to say it's good. It's very schwer. So he says, and then we kan amru, chacham olam yehidaito sho adam ureves imabrios. Right? So he says that, and that's where we, the chachamim, based on this great argument from Beis Hillel, they say a person should always be daito mu'urev imabrios. What's daito mu'urev imabrios mean? Should be a likable person. Should be a likable person. Other, you should see to it that other people like you. Right? It's a thing. Other people should like you. Right? It's good to be right. It's good to be truthful. But not at the expense of other people actually wanting to be around you. Should be the type of person that that other people want to be around. That's the shita of Beis Hillel. And that was the clearly accepted by the Chachamim ad kedei kach, that they made a mantra based on this logic of Beis Hillel. That if somebody buys a really ugly car, you're supposed to say, nice car. Right? And that's called daito mu'urev imabrios. If every single time somebody bought a new car, you tell them it's a nasty car, then nobody's going to like you, nobody's going to want to talk to you. And therefore, you should simply lie and compliment people. That seems to be the shita of Beis Hillel. This is a very difficult Gemara to understand. Beis Shammai seems to throw out a very strong argument, and Beis Hillel responds with a very weak argument, and then the Gemara basically, for all intents and purposes, says, "V'halacha k'divrei Beis Hillel." Right? So what is the pshat over here? So for starters, it's kedai to see the ultimate lying Gemara, right? What's the main Gemara that encourages lying? Right? Oh, I was going to say Yevamos, but... Who had denami? That doesn't encourage lying. That just says when people would lie, right? So that's more historical. when did Talmidei Chachamim used to lie? That's the mad case over here. But I think in Yevamos on Daf Samachay, so we point out that it's lying is fantastic, right? Where is it over here on the Daf? Anybody remember? Towards the middle of the Daf. Right, here we go. So, Amar Rabbi Loi Mishim Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Kishem Shemitzvah LaAdam Lomer Adavar HaNishma Kach Mitzvah LaAdam Shalom Lomer Adavar She'Eino Nishma. Right? In general, if you think people are going to listen to you, tell them. If you don't think people are going to listen to you, don't tell them. It's just as important. Rabbi Abba Omer Chova Shenemer Al Tocheach Leitz Pen Yisnaeka. Did I say that right? I always mess up these psukim. Where's the... I have the fancy Torah over here. There it is. Al tochach leitz v'yahaveka. Right? Al tochach leitz pen yisna'eka hocheach l'chacham v'yahaveka. Right? Don't give musr to a leitz. He'll hate you. Give musr to a chacham and he'll love you. Right, so I once heard a cute word on this, which is, don't give tochacha by calling someone a leitz. Right, when you see someone doing something wrong, don't call him a leitz. He's going to hate you for it. Call him a chacham, and he'll love you for it. Meaning, when you see someone doing something wrong, so if you say to the person, "Ach, look at you, you're such a rasha. Look what you're doing," so he's just going to resent you. Right, but if you say to him, "No, you're a chashuva guy. This is pasnish for you to do such a thing." Right, maybe without that exact lashon, but he'll be makabel it a lot more if you try to tell him this is beneath you. You're better than this, right? So then he'll respect what you're saying. But lemaisa, in terms of pashup shad in the Gemara, you're not allowed to tell someone something if you know he's not going to listen to you. Vam Rabbi Loi Mishim Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon Mutar Lo LaAdam L'Shanas B'Dvar HaShalom Shenemar Avicha Tziva. Right by the brothers of Yosef, it says your father commanded us before he died that we're supposed to forgive you. You're supposed to forgive us, etc. Right, the old story. My father told me I'm the next Rebbe. Right, and so how come he, if it was so true? How come he didn't tell your brother that you're the next Rebbe? So that's the old story over here. But it has a long-standing tradition going all the way back to the Shvatim that they say, oh, our father commanded us to tell you that he wants you to forgive us. Right? So clearly it was a lie. Ad kedei kach, Yosef knew they were lying at the time. He cried when they told it to him. And obviously he did not bear any grudges against them. But nevertheless, right, he said, nevertheless, they clearly made it up, and it's mutar l'shanas b'dvar ha'shalom, because their whole goal was to just get the Jewish people going in a positive direction, right, and therefore they lied. Rabbi Nassan Omer mitzvah. Rabbi Nassan says it's actually a mitzvah, as it says, Vayomer Shmuel eich eilech v'shama Shaul v'harguni, right, so what's going on over there? That was when Shmuel was going to anoint David HaMelech as the new king. And he was trying very, very hard to get out of it. He did not want to anoint a new king. He loved Shaul very much, and he did not want to anoint a new king. And he says, so one of the excuses that he gave was, Shaul sees what I'm doing, I'm going to be a Morid B'Malchus, and he's going to kill me. You anoint the new king while I'm still the king? That's not acceptable. So Hashem says, take a korban with you, and if anybody asks you where you're going, you say you're going to Shefta Korban. Right? So that's not exactly the whole truth. Right? It's not a complete lie, but it's not the whole truth either. So that's source number two, that it might be a mitzvah to do it, because Hashem commanded him to do it. Debei Rabbi, meaning that nobody commanded the brothers to do this. They chose to do it. But Hashem commanded Shmuel to do this, so you see that it's a mitzvah. And Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Tana Gadol HaShalom Sha'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shinobo. Right, and he goes to the next level, because he says that not only was it a mitzvah for Hashem to tell Shmuel to do it, Hashem himself did it. Right? The Meikara Ksiv Adoniza Kane, Lusov Ksiv Aniza Kanti. Right? What happened? Originally it said, Vadoniza Kane. My master is old. Who said my master is old? Sarah. Right? But what does Hashem relate back to Abraham? She said, Vaaniza Kanti. Right? I am old. So interesting to note, and it'll be a little bit relevant to the continuation. Was that a complete lie? Meaning, Sarah also said that she was old, right? She said, how could it be that this woman is also, what's the Lashon? Acharei kalosi hoysali edna v'adoniza kain, right? So what's acharei kalosi hoysali edna means? Right? Anybody know? Everyone knows what v'adoniza kain means, right? Is that the Lashon in the Pasuk? Anybody? Bilosi, right. Libalos is to wither, right? Likalos is to be destroyed. Sorry about that. Sarah wasn't that harsh on herself. She didn't say that she destroyed, but saying basically, I'm withering away, and I'm going to have Edna. Edna means youth, right? Edna is a secular name, but it's also a Jewish name. No, I'm serious. No, it's true. I know an Israeli person that I'm kind of related to through marriage named Edna, from woman in Israel. Edna means youth. It means young woman, right? Yeah, she says, am I, this old woman, is all of a sudden going to be young? Right, the Medrash elaborates on it. The Medrash says, like, look at me, I'm so old, I'm so decrepit, and I'm going to be able to nurse a baby, I'm going to be able to do all these things, right? The Medrash, like, elaborates on, as she was talking, Dafka, about her own body. And then she also said, Vadoni Zakein. So it wasn't a full-on sheker that Kodesh Baruch Hu said, that how could Sarah say that she's too old, right? She did say she's, but Lemaisa, when she used the word Zakein, it was about Avram, right? There's a lot of big, I don't know, Rav Willig spoke last night about Inyani Shalom Bias, or has he been doing Shalom Bias, or he's doing other things?
Nine days.
9 days, okay. What do you say about the 9 days? Anything?
He was like, Mashiach, all the Gemara's, all the Gemara's, all the Gemara's, all the
Gemara's,
all the same thing.
Okay. So, but he has this summer spoken about Shalom Bias, or?
Yeah.
Okay, so Lemaisa, this is another good lesson for Shalom Bias. Everyone asks, you know, not everyone, but the Velt Freck what is it? Avram's going to get so insulted because Sarah called him old? Like, he was 100. Right? Saying, at a certain point, you basically admit that you're old. Right? So, what was he? He's going to be so insulted that Sarah said he's old? So, the answer is no. He wasn't going to be so insulted. He was Avraham. He could probably take it, you know. But Lemaisa, you always want people to have a positive impression of you, It's not. It wasn't going to stare the Sholem bias ad kedei kach that they were going to have a big fight about it. But how could you call me old? Right? What do you mean, how could you call me old? You're old. She said, no, but you want your wife to think very highly of you. So like if someone says, describe my husband, you know, and like, okay, so people think of themselves under different terms. You know, so some people want to be thought of as very wise, and some people want to be thought about as very responsible, and some people want to be thought of as very, smart or witty or all of the above, none of the above, I don't know, whatever. So, and the first thing you say is old. So like, it hurts. It's hurtful, right? So even to just, Avram shouldn't be hurt by something that Sarah said, so even that little shtach would affect the Sholem bias in a small, small way. That was already worth it to change the truth a little bit. It's a very important yesod that when it comes to these types of matters, the goal it should be a goal of every husband that the husband always makes his wife feel that he thinks very highly of her. Everybody knows that they have flaws. There are only people who don't think that they have flaws are delusional, and there's something wrong with them anyway. But people, everyone knows that they have plenty of flaws, but they don't want other people to be harping on those flaws, even though they know that they're true, right? And most importantly, they don't want the people closest to them to be harping on those flaws. They hope that overall, obviously we try to improve ourselves, but we also hope overall that people will overlook our flaws in favor of the many positive things that we bring to the table. So it's important that a husband should always make his wife feel in that way, that of course I know that she has flaws, but look at all these great positive things that she has. And therefore that's what I choose to think about. And if somebody asks me, oh, describe your wife, so I'm not going to say the flaws in the list of things that I use to describe my wife. Doesn't mean that she's perfect. Nobody's perfect. Right? But it's the same way, and the wife should feel that way for the husband even more so, because the husbands are more easily insulted by these things. It's a klal gadol, different mentalities between men and women, but men get insulted easier by those types of things than women do. But okay. So this is the Gemara in Yevamos that basically says, yes, lie, and lie some more. If it's about either mutter lefnei ha-shalom, mitzvah b'mei ha-shalom, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu was our role model. So Mela, if you say what we said by the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, that it's all part of the mitzvah v'elachta b'drachav, to tell the truth, when it comes to m'pnei ha-shalom, then all of a sudden, it's not about telling the truth or not telling the truth, it's about increasing the amount of shalom that exists between man and wife. This is the Gemara in Yevamos that talks about lying b'mei ha-shalom. Right, so fine. That's the first source we want to see. Now, if you look in the Marsha on this Gemara, so he points out just an important yesod that if we would, yes, why don't we learn it from Sarah herself? What did Sarah say? She said, "Why are you accusing me of laughing? I didn't laugh, right? I didn't laugh." So and then Hashem wasn't putting up with that, and he said, "Yes, you did," right? So what? Sarah's a big liar now. She's all of a sudden start telling lies because she was embarrassed that she got caught laughing because Avram was so old. So she said, "I didn't laugh." Then he says, "Yes, you did." Why was she lying? Marsha is Malamed Tzchus on Sarah Imenu. He says she was lying b'mnei ha-shalom. She was lying because she didn't want Avram to feel bad that she called him old. Right? And then Hashem says back, no, you did laugh. So what does Marsha say? If we would have just had Sarah, what would we have thought? Anybody get a chance to see that, Marsha? So if we would have had Sarah, we just would have thought that you're only allowed to respond in a lie. You're only allowed to respond in a lie. All the other cases are what? Cases where you open up with a lie. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu could have said nothing. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't need to say, oh, why did Sarah lie and say that you are that she is old? He could have just said, what's so funny about that? Or he could have just said nothing. No reason to laugh. You should really believe me when I tell you you're going to have a child. Right? So why is it that all of a sudden Kadosh Baruch Hu, or through the Malach, obviously, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu opens up with a line. He's the one who brings up the line, not as a response. So if we would have just had Sarah, we would have known you're allowed to respond. If someone accuses you of doing something, you can lie and say, no, I didn't really do it, to sort of keep the peace. But if we have Kadosh Baruch Hu's statement, then we say you're even allowed to open up. You're allowed to be the one who brings it up. That's the Marsha's comment over here. Similarly, we can be mechalek when the Gemara in Bav Metzia says that there were three things where the Rabbanan used to lie. Right? So we're talking about the sugya of Tvias Ayin. Do they have to bring a simon on the Hashava Saveda cases? So we said that we believe a Talmud Chacham, a Tzur B'mer Rabbanan, with a Tvias Ayin. If he says, I know for a fact that that's mine, you're allowed to believe him. Right? I think we spoke about that earlier in the year. So we said that halacha l'maisa, we're not knowing this din anymore. You can be if you want, but halacha l'maisa, we're not mechuyev to give it back to Tzur B'mer Rabbanan with a Tvias Ayin. But in the times of the Gemara, you were. And they say, why? Because a Talmud Chacham would only lie in three things. Right? What were the three things? Masechta, Pariah, Ushpiza. So we spoke about that a while back. Right? What those things are. I always like to point out there's a difference between Masechta, Tosfos, and Kiddushin, Tosfos, and Bav Metzia. They say there's a difference between, if they ask you if you know the Masechta because they want to know the answer, if someone asks you a question because they want to know the answer, you got to tell them the answer. If somebody asks you the question because they want to stop and see what you know and what you don't know, then you could lie and say you don't know it. What, that he says, I don't know?
Yeah,
it's a good question. I don't know. So, I don't know. It's a very, very strange situation. Yeah, so, it's very strange. It's one of those things. Everybody has Mishigas, and that's his Mishigas. Yeah, that's, he likes to say, I don't know. So So that's Tosfos' statement in Kiddushin, based on the Gemara in Kiddushin. We also have the Maharsha by Puriah, right? The normal pshat in Puriah from the Rishonim is the word Puriah means a bed, something related to the bed. And somebody asks you an inappropriate question, you have the right to lie and not answer their inappropriate question. Or if somebody asks you an appropriate question that maybe has an appropriate answer, you're also allowed to lie and not give them the inappropriate answer. Right? I mentioned this before. That's why women are very secretive about when they're going to the mikvah. Right? There's nothing wrong with going to the mikvah. There's nothing wrong with women going to the mikvah, and some would even say there's nothing wrong with men going to the mikvah. Right? So you should do other mitzvahs too, But certainly many men have the custom to go to the mikveh daily, weekly, yearly, semi-annually. According to Shulchan Aruch, you go to the mikveh twice a year, right? So, but some people go more than that, and to each his own. No pun intended. Nara naro pashte. Okay, so there. There's nothing wrong with a woman going to the mikvah. She has it's actually a mitzvah, the oraisa, for her to go to the mikvah at that point. Elamai, the mitzvah of ona, the ikur mitzvah of ona, is after a woman goes to the mikvah, she's supposed to be mekayim the mitzvah of ona together with her husband. That's why women don't say when they're going to the mikvah, because of this idea of pariah, that you're not supposed to advertise these types of things. In fact, there are a number of days, especially Kabbalistically, there are a number of days on the Jewish year where there's a minhag to refrain from Tashmish Amita, right? Including Leil Shavuos, Leil HaSeder, other nights, where there's an idea is based on Arizal and others that you're not supposed to engage in Tashmish Amita. But if it would be a Leil Tevila, then it would still be chayiv to do so, L'chol Adeus. I don't want to say L'chol Adeus, but definitely the Halacha L'maisa would be that you'd be chayiv and on that case, because that's the mitzvah d'oraisa of ona. Therefore, that's the reason why women don't tell people when they're going to the mikvah, because they don't want to discuss that particular aspect of it. Not because, right, that's where you have the Gemara in Ksuvah. Kol yodim kala lama yi nechneses l'chuppah. Right? Everybody knows what happens when a couple gets married. We just don't talk about it. It's not because it's wrong. If I care, it's a mitzvah. But it's not the type of mitzvah to talk about. There are all kinds of other mitzvahs that you can talk about, right? That's not the one that is subject to a public discussion. Okay, so this is, but the Marsha has his pshat, right? His Marsha has his pshat. He says, where do we find the Lashon Puraya in the Torah? Mechayev inish l'besumei b'puraya. You're allowed to lie. Talmud Chacham is allowed to say, oh yeah, I'm already holding by Adelo Yada. You don't have to give me any more to drink. So that Marsha was very anti-drinking, as we know, his pshat in, I said so that before, when we said it over last time, that's his pshat in Kom Rabba B'Shachtel Reb Zeir. Right? He says, if you look in the Marsha there, in the Gemara in Megillah, so he says, Kom Rabba B'Shachtel Reb Zeir. So he says, what did he do to him? He shachted him? Ridiculous. What do you mean he shachted him? I know a lot of drunk people. You know, I never saw anyone kill someone else because he was drunk. And I don't think any of them were as great as Rabba. I don't think any of them were as great as Reb Zeir. You know, I'm pretty sure. So what's the pshat that he couldn't? So some say, yeah, because he was born under the mazel of Dam, and he, you know, that was his natural teva. Okay. Marsha says a very posh pshat. He didn't shecht anybody. He didn't bring anybody back to life. What did he do? He gave him alcohol poisoning. He made him drink too much. Right? So I'm sure many of us know people who have been taken to the hospital and made, you know, Hatzalah B'Machal Shabbos for them on Simchas Torah, and people have been taken to the hospital on Purim, right? So why? Because they have to take you to the hospital and pump your stomach, right? So pumping your stomach can sometimes save your life. You got to get the alcohol out of your system, and otherwise you could die. So they didn't have stomach pumps back then. If you drank too much and you got alcohol poisoning, you could die. So that was the whole nace that... that Rabbi Davin, that Reb Zeir should have Refuah Shleima, even though Al Pi Teva, he should have died. So he, so that's what it means. Kam Rabbi B'Shachta Reb Zeir. He said the Marsha in general was not a big drinker, or if he was, he didn't want anybody to steal his alcohol. So he didn't. So he published against drinking. So so that's his pshat in Puraya. Also, you're allowed to lie and say you're already holding by Adelo Yada, even if you're not. So okay. So based on the actual statement of the Gemara, what do we see? We see that there were three times that, right? We see there are three times that Talmidei Chacham used to lie. Were these opening statements or were these responses? So all of them are responses, right? You're not supposed to go around screaming, oh, this guy, his food's not so good. Right, or they don't treat you so well at this guy's house. Don't bother going. Somebody says, oh, how was it? Best meal in town, right? So you could say, oh, it was okay. You know, it wasn't so great. You know, or they say, you don't have to be like, oh, you stand up in front of the room and you say, Baruch Haman or Mordechai. Right? You don't have to pretend you're more drunk than you are. You can just say, somebody says to you, oh, you want more to drink? Nah, I'm already holding my Adolia. It's okay. I'm already drunk. You know, it's all responses. It's not you bringing it up. So Dafka, from the case of Yevamis, we learn out that it's mutter for you to bring it up. It's mutter for you to be the one who talks about it first, rather than just responding. So perhaps that's the pshat in the Gemara in Ksuvis. Gemara in Ksuvis says, Ketzad Meraktin Lefnei HaKala. Right? You're in front of the Kala. So Beishamai says, Kala Kamoshehi. Why? Because who told you to start making up stories about this Kala? Who told you to say? Oh, you stand in front of her, Kala Nava Chasuda. Wow, what a beautiful Kala. Right? She has two heads. Oh, beautiful. The second head is even nicer than the first head. Right? What are you supposed to say already? Kala Nava Chasuda. It's ridiculous. She's not a Kala Nava Chasuda. So it's for you to bring it up, for you to open up with the sheker, that Bishamai is not such a big fan of. He says you could respond with the sheker, but you can't necessarily bring it up, right? Whereas Beis Hillel could hold, no. He could argue perhaps this is a response. Right? He could argue perhaps this is a response. What do we mean? We mean that you're ready at the wedding, right? And you're ready at the wedding, and you're standing in front of the chasan and kala. So that's ki'ilu. Somebody said to you, nu, what do you think of the chasan and kala? So now the answer is, kala nava chasuda. You're allowed to lie under those circumstances. And that's his mashal to Beis Shammai. He says, if somebody brings, he drives up in his new Pontiac Aztec and he gets out of the car, what? He thinks you're just going to be like, oh, good day, everything's normal, everything's the same. Like, no, he just parked some monstrosity in his driveway that wasn't there before. He's obviously interested in hearing your views on his new car, right? That's what you're supposed to do. So that's what Beis Hillel was trying to say to him. When someone makes a new purchase, they want your comment. That's ke'ilu, they ask you already. So he says, so the answer is, kalanova chasuda. Right? So if you look in Tosfos, Tosfos seems to support this, right? Tosfos seems to support this idea, right? Because, where is it over here? Tosfos Kala. You guys saw the Tosfos at all? I don't know. I got to remember what I said. I had to go give a shir somewhere else. I didn't get a chance to look it over before. So he says, V'myesh ba'mum yishtaku v'lo yishabchu. Right? So, what is Beis Shammai Shita? That if she has a mum, don't say anything. Don't praise her. Just say nothing. Not kala kamosha he, as in like, oh, so nice to be at the wedding of a very, very average chassan and kala. You know, like that's not what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to be dancing in front of them and say, you know, whatever, way to marry below your station, you know, or whatever. You know, you're not supposed to dafka say things that are not nice. You just don't say anything. Inami, yishabchu b'davar na sheyeshba, right? Or you should say something nice. That's true. Right? Kigon, Beinel, Biadel, she has beautiful eyes, beautiful hands, she could be a hand model, right? Imhim Yafos, Beisulomim, not Yishabchul Gamre, the Kishimaz Kirin, Mashiyeshba, Lishvach, Mechlal, the Shah Lignai. Because if you say, oh, what beautiful eyes, it's Mashma that she has an ugly nose, right? Or if you say, what beautiful hands, what? You couldn't find anything nice about her from anything but her hands? Like, obviously, there's something up over here. And then Tosfos explains, right, Beis Hillel's response, Yishabchena be'enav, o yiganena be'enav, u Beis Shammai savri, avogad yishabchena be'enav, meaning Beis Shammai agrees. You should praise it. Nevertheless, ein laim l'chachamim l'sakein l'hazkik lomar sheker. It's not for the chachamim to say that you're supposed to open up with a lie. Right? The chacham shouldn't have made a takana. Oh, Tana Rabbanan, Ketza Meraknov Ne'akala. So we have a brisa, how the Chachamim wants you to act at a wedding. Right? So the answer is, Kalanova Chasuda. And Beis Shammai says, we're not making a takana for people to go around there starting with lies. Right? Da Torah Amim Dvar Sheker Tirchok. So you could certainly understand that what Tosfos is getting at here is what the Marsha was talking about in Yevamos. The Marsha says, if we would have had from Sarah, we wouldn't have learned that you're allowed to even open up with a lie if it's Mipnei HaShalom. Right? So therefore, we learn from the Gemara and Yevamos, we learn from the sources that it's mutter to open up with a lie, not just respond with a lie. Right? Similarly, Beis Shammai agrees there is a mitzvah to lie, Mipnei HaShalom, but not ad kedei kach that you're supposed to open up with a lie, and he obviously would disagree with the source in Yevamos in terms of the way a person is supposed to be knowing. That you're not supposed to stafka open up with a lie. That's one approach. You could also suggest a second approach, which is that it depends how you view the isser of lying in a classic, you know, in classic Chakira style. When you're going to lie, Mipnei HaShalom, are you supposed to lie like there's no tomorrow? And the lying is mamish hutra lagamre? Or are you supposed to try to tell as much of the truth as possible? Is the lying just dichuya? You're allowed to be mishane mipnei HaShalom. You're not supposed to dafka make up a whole story, right? Or try to just, once things get out of control, you know, you're supposed to, how seriously do we take the isser to lie even when you're in a position where you have to, right? So we see this idea in Shitas Beis Hillel from the Ritva, where the Ritva says, "V'kol shum ibnei darkin shalom, ein bo mishum midvar sheker tirchok." Anytime we're dealing with mibnei shalom, there is no din of midvar sheker tirchok. Meaning, what's Beis Hillel Shita? Beis Hillel Shita is there's no iser to lie whatsoever when we're dealing with Shalom. Say whatever you want. And Beis Shammai could argue, no, wait a second. What do we have when we look in the cases where Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mishanah Mipnei HaShalom? He says, she said, I am old. She did say she was old. She just stressed the fact that Avraham was old more. So it's not a complete lie, right? When the brothers go to Yosef, they say, our father told us that he wants us to make peace. What, you think Yaakov Avinu didn't want them to make peace? So this exact story didn't happen in such a way, but Stama, they had the right to assume that Yaakov Avinu would want the brothers to live in peace with Yosef. Right? You have this idea. Shmuel was told by Kodesh Baruch Hu, take the carbon with you. Right? Was he going to bring the carbon? He was going to bring the carbon. And that wasn't the real purpose of his journey. So again, these are examples where the Isser to lie was Dechuya, not Hutra necessarily. But Beis Hillel says, no diukim like that. It's a Heter Gomer. You want to say Kalanoa V'Chasuda, that's all that matters. You don't have to say Dafka, she has a nice nose or a nice hair or whatever else you're going to say, Kamo Shehi. You don't have to tell little lies, which are mostly true or partially true. Right, that's the Shita of Beis Shammai. And we find this also in Rashi. We know Rashi by Yaakov Avinu, right, when he goes, if you read Parshas Toldos with Rashi, so we say, and he says, Anochi Esav b'chorecha, right, so Anochi, I am who I am, Esav hu b'chorecha, right there. He tries to darshan every word that Yaakov Avinu said. He wasn't trying to be motzi dvar sheker mipiv. He was trying to say words that could be understood as true while still lying at the same time. He was trying very hard. So you could say, all right, that's not necessarily a raya for us. Yaakov was Isha Emes, and it was really hurting him to tell anything that wasn't 100% true. So Mela, he did that. But Lamaisa, you can suggest that this is along the lines of Shitas Beis Shammai. This beer in Shitas Beis Shammai that we hold the Isser of lying, even for a good reason, is only Dechuya. Last but not least, there are other Mahalchim also, but last but not least, we have the Shita of the Taz. The Taz has a different idea, which is Pashut in the words of the Gemara, which is that, what does Beis Hillel say to Beis Shammai? If somebody makes a purchase, he buys a Pontiac Aztec, and he thinks it's the coolest car ever made, right? So what are you going to do? You're going to tell him it's ugly? He says, no, you're going to tell him it's nice. Why? What's the logic behind Beis Hillel's Raya? The logic behind his Raya is, he obviously bought it. So you can't say objectively it's an ugly car, because this guy is out there who thinks that it's a nice car. There are people who are working for General Motors who designed the car. They thought it was a nice car. They didn't think like, oh, let's play a great prank on the world and make this really ugly car and try to convince people to buy it. They thought it was going to be a nice car. So there are people in the world, subjectively, who think it's nice. So as long as there's this one chassan who thinks that he's supposed to marry this kala, so Amela, in his eyes, she's Noeva Chasuda. So maybe in your eyes, she's not Noeva Chasuda. Good news, you don't have to marry her. She's already married. So it doesn't matter that you don't think she's Noeva Chasuda. The Chassan thinks she's Noeva Chasuda, and that's all that really matters. And that's really what Beis Hillel was saying to Beis Shammai. He says to Beis Shammai, listen, we know the Gemara in Kiddushin says, you're mechuyev to see your wife before you marry her, because Shemat is gana be'enav, maybe he's not going to think she's so Noeva Chasuda, and therefore, it's going to be a violation of Ve'ahavta le'recha kamocha. Right? Elamai, you're chayev to see her. So he already saw her. Right? Or nowadays, he already went on dates with her. And he knows that in his eyes, she's Noeva Chasuda. So who cares if in your eyes, she's not Noeva Chasuda? That's not called a lie. In your eyes, she's not Noeva. You say, Kala Noeva Chasuda. This Kala, in the eyes of the Chassan, is Noeva Chasuda. Whereas Beis Shammai says, no, the fact that there's subjectively, there's one or two people in the world that think she's Noeva Chasuda, doesn't mean anything. And therefore, you're not allowed to say it. Okay, there's a lot of other Mahalchim out there. I just thought that this is something nice to close with for this...